Hey, what the heck? Button. Oh, shoot. Ah.
Hi, hi.
I just watched Christmas Vacation. As we're recording this, it's about to be Christmas. So I have to watch Christmas Vacation almost every year. And the drum roll, the...
I just saw it, Kevin, a couple Sundays ago.
It's a must watch.
Yes.
Around this time of year.
Yeah, Chevy what came to Philly.
What's that?
Chevy came to Philly for Rocky Day for the 40th anniversary, so so did Sly. And I don't know why Chevy came with him, but he did. So that was kind of cool. Yeah, I'm not going to say no to that. So, yeah, Chevy's here. But
when you're hanging out with Chevy and you feel something heavy, diarrhea.
There you go. Modern problem, Chevy Chase.
This is an empty mug. This is not the one I'm drinking. This is not the mug you're looking for. So I don't really do a whole lot of like extensive intro. If you want that, let's try it. Lauren Labrie, everybody, filmmaker, average superstar. He's my friend. He also now hosts a podcast. He's joined me in the podcasting game, and I'm pleased to have him here. Please welcome Lauren Labrie, please, everybody. Yay! Hello, everyone.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you could guess my name. Yeah, that's it.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you get dressed.
That's right. That too. Gotcha. Well, howdy ho, everybody.
So I did listen to a little bit. I listened to a little bit of the podcast that you sent me this afternoon.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was surprised to know. I didn't realize that you were so like into modern day wrestling. Like, I didn't know that you maintained your fandom of wrestling.
No, if you really pay attention to my list, it's kind of like 2000s and back. Like, that's why I had two other people on the show to try to even that out in case anybody fell in those tears.
No modern day wrestling.
Yeah, no, I literally, when the Monday Night Wars ended, I barely almost watched anything. Like I caught the invasion angle, which, you know, wasn't exactly the most thrilling thing in the world. Biggest disappointment in wrestling history was like the invasion angle. And then, you know, that's where I was a wrestling manager, found myself in the ring numerous times up until about 2004. But I was kind of doing that with a dead heart because I knew my body wasn't made to be a wrestler. I have a guy who could get involved, and I love that aspect. But manager was just fun. And I'm like, I'm a guy manager going in 2000 in the Diva era where, like,
you didn't sell no posters. No one's buying calendars.
What I was obsolete. And, like, I just knew, like, I was kind of like the Walking Dead because the ride I had, I call it being on the back porch of ECW because I was helping a local promoter do work for ECW, but I was not part of ECW. I did not ever speak a word to Paul Heyman in my life or get a paycheck from ECW. But the fact that I was working for his promoter, I was in a building. I got to know a lot of people. The simple fact that I was part of wrestling with Garrett Dominance, who was doing the same thing. Like, we were waiting for that night where, like, people didn't show up and needed wrestlers. And we know we'd go in and get killed, but we were willing to do anything to get in the freaking door. So the simple fact that, like, here's the third big company here, and, like, we're right there. There was no guarantees. We were definitely not – that's not what I'm claiming. But the fact that we were there, and then there's three of them, and then now there's just one, and it's horrible. And you're just like, everyone to the back of the line. You got no stroke here anymore, kid. You know that. Enjoy your ride. But I look at that era was amazing. I was a kid. When I was a kid, I said I was either going to play for the Philadelphia Phillies. That didn't exactly work out, or I was going to be involved in wrestling. So, like, the childhood dream happened. I may have not have been part of WrestleMania, but, like, you know, May 22nd, 1999, you know, me, Garrett Dominance, it's supremely great. We jumped over that hurdle. we didn't know if we were going to get chased out of the building. Like, you're never, don't ever come back. We didn't know how locker rooms really were run outside of ECW. And, you know, I still have that stamp that I did it. That can't be taken away. I could say all these years later, a little bit of you kind of wish you could go back a little bit. But for a good 15 years, it was just weird. Like, when it was gone, it was gone, guys. It'd be like Monday night and I'd be home and I'd be like, I need to watch something. And I would never even think of wrestling. I remember the first week that went by where I was like, it's Monday. I should put on a movie. And then you're like, it's 11:30. You're like, wow, normally this is when I'd watch Raw. Like, it's really out of my system. And, right. You know, it's just I did not like the programming. I did not like the way wrestling was going. I was there and checked in on moments where, like, Flair retired with the Shawn Michaels things. And then, you know,
you know what might have threw me off a little bit? Because when you were talking about the Bobby Heenan, Paul Heyman, has Paul, like, you guys had the debate on whether Paul Heyman had succeeded.
Yeah. It's a question everyone could jump in the comments here and jump in, but I had a look at what when you really break it down. Like, here's a guy, I clearly saw him all in WCW, what he did and how important he was. Certainly I was there watching him change in the business in ECW. Then he comes back and I knew he was had a long run with Brock Lesnar. I knew he had a run with CM Punk. And now, like, I just found out last WrestleMania that I kept complaining, why is there not a heavyweight champion that, like, could hold the belt for years? Someone filled me in, like, yo, dude, Roman Reigns has been a champion for 3 years. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Really? I was like, they did that? And then I'm like, oh. So then I'm like, so Paul's been there the whole time. Then I start calculating. I'm like, well, how could you not in a small way say? He's basically for 10 years has managed the heavyweight champion, am I right? Like, at one point or another.
Incredibly influential and impactful in this business.
So when I was putting the list together, I immediately said Bobby Heenan, like all of us. And then I'm like, it's my own show. I'm throwing this wrench in here. I'm like, I know we're going to go. And I still kind of had that little bit of favoritism through nostalgic, but I'm actually sitting there like, I think Paul may have done it. And I mean, if you really think about it, Paul's not done. Right. I don't know when Paul's going to be done.
Yeah. He's definitely first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, there's no way to deny Paul Heyman is somebody who deserves all the money that he makes.
Yes. And it was one of those things where I asked that question, like my other people that were on my podcast with me, like Simo and Matt, it was like an immediate no, but I'm like, I don't think it registered at all. Like, they just looked at, like, nostalgic, like, you know, that was it. You can't top him. But I'm like,
right. But Bobby for the time was amazing. Like, right, for that, time, like, and like, it can't be redone now.
No.
But like, for what that was and how important that was at that time, for sure. Like, he is there's nobody topping him at that moment.
He was also, in a small way, as far as pop culture goes, born in the wrong era, because in the 80s, when you had Hogan jumping over to movies, he was this Hulk Hogan in every movie, and it didn't do too well. And then you had Roddy Piper, who was, you know, on They Live, which was a hit. But you could kind of see Roddy Piper, but he also kind of was a character. But all basically what I'm trying to say is all the wrestlers of that era, when they'd get to Hollywood, they just were wrestlers in movies, where, like, The Rock broke the door down, stayed away. He put a lot of time in and came who he is. Then follows John Cena. You know, now you got Batista. Man, Bobby Heenan, for how sharp he was, he could have been like on The Late Show. He was that sharp and that funny.
Yeah, he's better than he could have been Jay Leno. Like, he could have beat Jay Leno.
I think he would have destroyed all of them on improv because he's just that good.
He'd be in a crossover hardcore. Like, definitely better than, like, any of the Jimmies right now.
By far, I think he was just, it sucks. He was born in the wrong era. And, like, his family always said, like, he was hoping when he left the WWF that round, he didn't mean to go to WCW. They just overpaid him on a less bit schedule. But he was trying to branch out. But they also just looked at, like, kind of like the way Hollywood used to look at comic book movies. Like, come on, like that ain't gonna work, you know. But
I listen to JR's podcast sometimes, and I've heard him talk about how like the rest of the world who aren't wrestling fans treat wrestling fans with the same like shame, like fat shame wrestling fans. Like I don't want to sit here and act like we're an oppressed members of society, but it's like anybody who's not a wrestling fan can so easily be like, oh, come on, grow up, like, and like look past it.
I get both sides of that though. I think like the way they say thank you at the end when someone retires, or how they really get behind, like you gotta keep in mind when I say I'm out, you know, clips make YouTube for something for 8 minutes. You might just kind of. But like when Roman Reigns like went in the ring and dropped the belt and said his cancer's back and all that, like I think that's like the beautiful moments where I think sometimes people hang on, and anybody freaking come at me on this, but like when the Undertaker loses at WrestleMania and the look on their face, I'm like, guys, he's lost wrestling matches before just because what? Well, because it's the biggest event in the world he lost. Like, guy, come on, man. Like, what do you think of it? Come on, the look on these people's faces, and then like the news feed from these grown men. I'm like, guys,
I bet you it's coming. Come on, the day that Undertaker lost the streak was my birthday. How can you do that to me on my birthday?
I'm like, my jaws drop. Like, sometimes, like, people were they, oh, they cried over a wrestling match. I'm like, okay, like, I think you should look at wrestling like movies where. Go escape from reality for 2 hours. It's awesome. Have fun. But one of the top reasons what drove this guy out of wrestling was the fans being too involved of, like, they know everything that's happening. And, you know, if I was in charge, like, well, you're not in charge.
Well, clearly, I have to say, the early 2000s wrestling fan in Philly was a fickle bitch.
It was. Like, maybe that's where I'm stuck at, but I can't take it. Where, you know, Jake the Snake liked my status on X, so that means we're friends. It's like, no, he didn't. He liked your status on his own. Yeah, like people take that way the wrong way. Like if a celebrity acknowledges you with a comment or a like, that's just a thumbs up for the day for you. That's the way I think you should look at it. Like, that's cool. Like, hey, they not, but you know, you can't just PM them like, yo, it's cool. Like. From your newsfeed, like, you're making it really work.
I have this thing that I say, and you please use it. If it apply, if you can find a place to make it apply, please use it. I'd say, like, pro wrestlers on Twitter, or X, as we're calling it now. Yeah. I'm gonna continue to say Twitter because it's still twitter.com.
I will say X because I will not join that site beforehand because the name was too feminine. I am a man's man. I don't like that word, the T word. I used to call it the T word. I could say that word. I'm like, what did you just say? I mean, like, no. So I'm like, now you got X. I'm like, all right, maybe I might join this now. But when they be like, T word me, which meant like PM me. I can't say the word, guys. It bothers me. It's just like, it bothered me so much.
What do you think? I'm some kind of bird? Twittering bird?
It's like, no, there's this certain thing. It's like, it's literally like Reservoir Dogs. I don't want to be Mr. Pink. That's how much I don't want. Yeah.
Okay. I see your argument. I see where you're coming from. Don't feel the exact same way, but I can understand why you would feel that way. Don't judge you at all.
That's the only political thing I'll say for the last 3 years. Guys, it's okay to not get along, like have a different opinion. You don't have to kill each other over it, you know? So it's all right. But that's just me.
So back to what I was saying. Wrestlers, their social media presence,
yeah,
like it's such a work shoot. And with all of wrestling, it's such a work shoot that I've started calling that gray fade. So it's like, kayfabe, but a gray area.
Okay.
So it's gray fabe. Make it happen.
Gotcha. I mean, I kind of think it falls in the same category as in what in horror movies, that people that over the last 20 years that happens at the horror movie conventions where a new convention is born somewhere in the country and everyone flocks through it and says, it's so much better than the other ones. Oh, I'm so happy. I can't stand them. And then after like 3 years, it's like the Dark Knight, like die a hero or stay around long enough to see yourself come the bad guy. Like, this kind of sucks. I don't like it anymore. It's like these horror movie fans get so into the, like what guests they want to see, and there's almost no one left to meet. It's just it's happened, guys.
Not everybody.
Yeah, but it's like they all complain they're never coming, and then they slander, and every guest they get, they're like, no, I'm not going, and then they show up, and I sometimes like I screenshot and be like, you said you weren't coming, and you, it's what you think of the con. But I think that wrestling has the same thing, where like I'm not ever gonna watch Raw or the pay per view, like they can't get away.
Right.
I just think it's just, you know, you and your black t-shirt will be back. Like, you're not going anywhere, you know?
I think was it? Remember the South Park episode where everything Stan was watching turned to shit? Like, it was ducks shitting out of their mouths?
I call that the Lauren effect, because anytime someone talks about a movie, I'm Stan. I don't like almost anything. I'm terrible. Jim Carrey's a turd. Adam Sandler has a bunch of turds in his apartment. The President of the United States is a duck. Like, I love that whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, and then they say, F you, you'll watch it.
Yeah. It literally is. I said, like, Godzilla just broke my Stan Marsh disease, is what I call it, the Stan Marsh disease. But I actually like the Godzilla movie a lot. And I'm actually going to go see Iron Claw. And I really kind of know there's no way I'm not going to like it, just because of what that story is. And I've been saying this for years. And everyone gets like, oh, yeah, you're jumping out. No, I've been saying it for years. Movies about wrestling could be the next Marvel Universe with all the stories that are out there. And I like that this isn't like a WWF movie. This is like, you know, a Texas-based, you know, the Von Erich. You could go to Bruiser Brody. I mean, you could go on and on and on in 100 different directions with wrestling movies. And I think they would do, you hit a major home run every time.
I want to do a wrestling movie.
Okay. About what?
I don't have a storyline in mind, but I would like to write one. Like, I've had ideas previously about wrestling movies, but also there's a thin line between like you're not gonna do it justice and people aren't gonna take it seriously when it comes to that, because so many people just like scoff at wrestling. But like, it's weird because I was just listening to Kevin Nash's podcast and they were talking about watching The Wrestler,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about never showing him in footage of like what that feeling was like walking out in front of 30,000 people. And I don't know what that feels like either.
I got you. Yeah, no, I get that.
Like to walk in front of 200 people and to gig for like nothing. I've done that.
Yeah, I think I was there for
yeah.
In between the shoot, I'm like, is he cutting his freaking head open? And I need him back on set. I can't explain this. I'm sitting there like, he ain't gonna go deep. I'm like, oh, he's bleeding all badly. Okay.
did not expect that to happen.
Yeah.
That was a whoopsie daisy.
Yeah. But you know, even if I get into Dark Military 2, which is a very good chance that's gonna happen next year, I literally kind of have inside it would almost fill in the wrestling, but there's the characters talking about horror movie conventions and like how they behave and all that shit. It's actually me letting my aggression out of how I feel about like fandom gets out of control, like at certain points. So like anything that was on my mind is going to come out in this movie.
Well, it's weird because like did you watch the Pander Dome, the South Park Pander Dome movie?
The best thing I saw all year. I hope they just keep going with that. Cause like,
as a filmmaker, are you now thinking like, oh shoot, I got to pander to every,
no,
I got to pander every goddamn
here's how that universe goes with me. If I feel a character that's happened, like what checking the box, if you want to say, like belongs there, it's going in. But like, I am not worried about someone's comment. Like, I'm writing the story and I'm casting who I believe deserves the roles. That's everything that's happened to me. To me, in my eyes, what's happened since 2020, it's just another hippie movement. And eventually the hippie movement went away. Like, everyone's going to get tired of fighting, or they'll find another way to get attention. But, like, it, when something's around too long, you become the bad guy. And I think that's happening right now. Like, I think, you know, for everyone saying, yeah, yeah, cheer it on, it's like, all right, this is getting a little ridiculous. And when South Park rings the bell, you know, to me, you're on the decline. And South Park has just rang the bell. And, you know, I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, it is one thing to have representation for people. It's another thing to demand representation.
Yeah.
And like
that whole Academy Award thing about, like, you have to check the boxes or you can't be nominated. Like, who on earth are you to come up with that? What if it's a period piece too?
Right.
Yeah, you know, like Oppenheimer, you know, like that's contributing the world of the year. We're saying, because there's probably odds are there's no trans people going on back then. Like what? And so it's disqualified because what? It's the flavor of the month. Like, no. So I'm all about if it fits. I mean, people have gotten crazy about, like, if it's a gay role, it has to be a gay actor. I'm like, well, that's the point of acting. To do the role. Like, when you hire a role, you don't look at what their sexuality is. You look at, do they fit the role? You're not supposed to sit there like, well, in real life. Like, no, I guess that doesn't work that way.
Did you see the Bill Burr special where he talked about that? The bit he said people were getting on Bryan Cranston's ass because he was playing a paraplegic in a movie. Or a quadriplegic in a movie.
Yeah.
And why didn't you hire a real quadriplegic? Because it's called acting.
Yeah.
If you hire a real quadriplegic to do it, it would just be a guy sitting there reading the lines. He's not an actor.
Yeah. So. It's you know what the biggest problem I'll say all in America has nothing to do with wokeness is we got it too good here. We're all across the board overprivileged. We all have power. We all have heat. We all have air conditioning. We all have grocery stores. And we got phones. I mean, you want to talk about, like, that, I call it the light beer pandemic. You could tell what side of the fence I'm on with that, where I just think that was the biggest waste of time. But everybody had Netflix and TV and stuff and said it was the scariest time of their life. Go back to, like, 1929 when you had candles and, like, no power. And, you know, and the stock market crashed. Like, don't say this is the most scariest part of being American. Stop it. Like, you know, please look back in the past that you guys love to go shame people from the past. Look back further about how good we all have it now. Because, like, even our homeless are fat. Okay? our homeless people are fat.
This is a funny point that I've been trying to make really recently. People have gone as far to say, you can't say homeless anymore. You have to say unhoused, as somehow that's less offensive. I don't know. Were bums writing blogs about how offended they were? They're like, oh, excuse me. Don't call me homeless. Call me unhoused. I was like, I'm not housed. I live in an apartment. What are you talking about? Like,
I've never heard that, but, like, that falls under the category of no one tell me what to say or do. Like worry right. about worry about your own life every day, and the world will be a better place.
Change your own garden.
I can't change people's thought process, and I don't want to. I have enough of the people I want around me. I think that's the same way for you and anybody else that's listening. You put the right people around you, but, like, I can't walk into someone's lion's nest that's not, like, into what I'm into and tell announcement, hey, okay, so since I'm here, you will now adapt to this sheet. Like, no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's like, everything's separated by two on so many things. People are so, like, one way or the other. And so dualistic. They seem to be more, like, fluid. With everything, people just go, oh, that person's a Republican, that person's a Democrat. How could you like that person? They're a Dallas Cowboys fan. How could you like that person? It's like people just need to search for stuff to feel divided about. And that's the same thing you were talking about, how we got it too good.
Americans are an overprivileged country. It just is. If we have enough time to, like, tell our teacher how do we authority is bothering me. Of, like, yeah, there's a certain time you have to speak up for yourself, but I just don't like they're running over to school teachers, like, call me this. It bothers me because there's a certain thing about, like, you probably get this being a wrestler, like, from me being the martial arts, and I mean, it's all written on my arm. I call it my arm of honor, but like, when I will go to a yoga class or martial art class, I'm paying. I want to be a good student. So whatever the teacher tells me, I don't want to let them down. I want to do good. So I kind of look at, like, when I go to work, even if you're upset with your boss, I'm like, well, he's paying you. He or she's paying you. You don't have to smile, but be one of the best workers there regardless, because you agreed to come here. I just don't like how the whole, like, I'm going to work and or class and you're going to adjust to what I like. Like that, like, you're not, no, it's not how the world works. This, you know,
Eddie Valentine told me this in 2001 when I was training, and I carry it with me everywhere. When I talk to anybody about it, then I can, I always say, whatever you're doing, do it on purpose, do it for the purpose that, like, you believed that you belonged there. Like, if you decided to be a wrestler, You could have played any other sport. In every school, there's a football team, baseball team, like wrestling team, whatever. Like every shopping center has a martial arts dojo. Yeah. But wrestling schools are so few and far between. Like, you showed up here because you really truly believe that you belonged here. So carry yourself like you belong here, and hold your head up. So that, I think that's probably what people. When I go any place, people are like, excuse me. And they talk to me like I work at a place or like I'm an expert anywhere I'm at in public. People are like, excuse me, where's this? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't work here. And it's like, it's just that I carry that head up sort of confidence that I gain through pro wrestling. So when it comes to like me going like, I haven't gotten my fair shake in wrestling. No, wrestling doesn't owe me a goddamn thing. Like that's, it's built who I am. And I love every single part of it, and I wouldn't take anything back.
Awesome.
It does owe me some stuff. I've paid in pain for so many years. I've paid some dues towards it, but
you were signing up for, though.
Yeah, that, absolutely. I knew that the juice was either going to be worth the squeeze or not. You know.
And you'd have an empty hole in your heart if you didn't go for it, like the same as when I joined, you know. So why my world is acting and filmmaking, like that's just my beast. But like, I'm always all in, you know, even if it's the wrong move, like, all right, where's the risk? Let's try this. Like, go all in and make it the absolute best you possibly could. And, you know, every avenue you could take to try to push it, go for it. And then sometimes you're done. You're just like, good, not good enough. This sucks. Let's get a new one. Like, let's start over again. Because, you know, you got to have the heart to keep going. Because it's funny because it's like there's so many people that pass you by in wrestling or film that, like, 5 years might as well be like 20 years ago. Like, those people are out, like, and these people are in now. So it's like, you're still here. Yeah.
It's crazy,
but you're still here. So, you know, there comes that point of like, you're asking yourself, like, am I the only guy that didn't get the freaking memo that I shouldn't be here? But like, at the same time, you're kind of like, yeah, but you know, You could have a months of kind of feeling bad of like, there's no comments. If anyone's asked, like, what's taking you so long? And, you know, you're staring at your work in your wall and be like, 7 years ago, 9 years ago, you know, 6 months ago. And you're kind of like, wow, is this my legacy? Is as far as I'm going? And then you could get called to do something. And all of a sudden, it's randomly, all out of blue, people are like, yo, I just saw your old movie from, you know, 9 years ago. Freaking awesome. Where can I see the rest? It's just like, all of a sudden, the wheels just start going, like, you're just in a down, you know, spiral for a little bit. You know, like, it's here, comes back up. So, you gotta keep your mind. That's the thing.
I love a random message saying, hey, I checked out a film that you were in 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I was looking through HBO and this movie came on and I swore that guy was you. So then I Googled it and it was you. And I figured I'd call you and or whatever, message you. I love getting those messages. And that's like part of the reason why I beat this drum is to represent consistency, because I'll continue beating my drum. I take this with me to the ring for all my matches. I do it before every podcast. My wrestling theme song has got a big steady drum beat right in it, because that's cool. I'm gonna continue doing this thing. Like, I'm at the point where all of my best friends that I've ever had in the wrestling business have all left the wrestling business. I don't have any of those people still in it. It's like I'm a lone survivor, and I don't look at it like I'm holding on too tight to it. I'm looking at it like I've got more to give back to this business, and this business has got more to give me and fill these the creative holes that I need filled. While I can still do it, I'm happy that I can still do it. I can still do it really well, and I'm going to continue to do it while I can still do it on a high level.
Good.
I would have to say, the older I get, the better I'm getting at understanding, like, the mental aspect of it, and trying to make a wrestling match look like something I would have wanted to see when I was a kid, instead of like just being a kid and trying to do. It's like it's molded me into a man, and I remember for a long time, I wouldn't call myself a man, because I was just still like a kid. Like, I would refer to myself as a guy or a kid or whatever. But then eventually I'm like, yeah, this sport has made me a man, and this responsibility that I have has made me a man, and I have no problems owning that. And I think, you know, getting myself a good woman does that for me too.
But there you go. I dig it.
I got a good one.
Hold on to it. Or her.
Yeah. She's not an it.
Yeah, yeah.
She's slash it. That's
her. Myself. I call it.
Sweet. So, and it's cool because, like, you, I heard you say earlier, and you're like, yeah, I never said Twitter because I'm a man, and it doesn't feel like a very masculine man thing. And I was like, yeah, we need more people like that. I think the weird thing is, I just watched, and I think I shared a clip of a Patrice O'Neill interview where he was talking about how he's pro hate speech. He was like, oh, whatever happened to sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That must have went away. Like, now it's like, why am I not allowed to hate you in speech?
Exactly.
Because some dickheads will take it beyond where it needs to go. Like, if I can go, oh, you know what? I freaking hate you, man. I just, like, there's just something about you I don't want to like. And I think that, you know, especially like in wrestling, We want to give in storytelling as well, and in film, we want to give the idea that the reason my actions are this way, the reason I'm resorting to this thing that I'm resorting to, is because I freaking hate you. You hate me. I hate you. We're secretly working together because it's part of it. But like, we're trying to convey to these people who probably all hate somebody.
Yeah,
like they can understand like disliking somebody or having beef with anybody for any reason.
Well, one of the reasons I said I'm thinking about jumping into X is because I like what Elon did. Yeah, sorry, everyone else said it. Not sorry, everyone else said it over again. I like what Elon did, putting money where his mouth is, saying I'm doing this for freedom of speech. And I'm all about where I grew up, but the Pennsylvania hardcore scene, guys. You guys, for the most part, I bet you everybody, every single one of you watching this, probably never had to encounter this. You've only heard stories. But in the 90s, Allentown, Pennsylvania was like the skinhead capital of the East Coast. In Atlantic City, you had the Atlantic City skinheads. And then across Pennsylvania, you had the Keystone skinheads. And they were exactly what the kind of skinheads you don't want, you know, we don't like. Okay? They were racist. They came in with their flags. Luckily, before I got in, a lot of that died down. But there used to be insane fights in Allentown at the airport music hall, where there'd be like 200 Nazi skinheads fighting just anybody left over that was on the other side. So, like, what I'm trying to get is, like, I was actually around that. I done what I had to do at times to help my friends get in and get out of there. But basically, while you're chatting, this is what I had to do. That's how I stopped hate. But what I'm trying to get at is sometimes there was plain old skinhead shows open to the public. I just didn't go there. I'm not going to put myself in harm's way. I'm not going to be able to enjoy myself at a show where there's an actual Nazi freaking flag up. So what I'm trying to say is, when we're talking about hate speech needs to be taken away on social media, guys, if I was on, I'm on X, and if someone actually posts a Nazi flag, right click, I don't want to see this. It's gone. Like, that's the part where I love what Elon did. Is like,
yeah, they should be able to share it. I don't want to see it.
Guys, there's Black Panthers. There's the freaking, I don't even think they're around anymore, but like the Ku Klux Klan, the skinheads. Across America, they could go down to your city hall and get a permit to do a demonstration. And they have to allow it because it's freedom of speech. You know, when those guys actually get people recruited, when you go down there like an idiot and give them attention and like, let's get baseball bats and get them out of there, like, leave them alone, and they're probably not going to get any recruiting of any kind. It's every time they make the news, people are like, I didn't know where to find these people. I'm going to go chase them down and say, I want to join you. Because let it go, folks. Like, the First Amendment, you can't. The First Amendment goes a lot of different ways, and you just can't pick the part of it that you want. And there's also, this is huge. There's a difference between hate speech and speech that you hate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fine line with that one too, but I won't stand for it. But if I see, like, I've heard the Taliban, that was the big thing, or the Taliban or ISIS or has a page now on X. And I think Elon says they're allowed to talk, but if they're trying to basically assemble something to do some harm, he'd slam the axe down. But just to put their views out there, look, it's not the nicest thing, folks. I'm not saying that, but like, the thing is, you can't. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. For sure, I'm cutting you off.
It's terror-risky.
Yeah. But guys, freedom of speech goes both ways. Like, yeah, this, I'm sorry. Like, sorry, but I'm not sorry. That's what America was brought up on. That is what every soldier, regardless of what century they fought in, fought for you to be allowed to say what you want, and for you to try to censor anybody is wrong.
Well, it goes to the point of overcorrection and like insincerity. Like, it's, dude, they should have never taken Aunt Jemima off the Sarah bottle. That's not gonna heal racists. You know what I mean? That's not gonna heal racism. It's not gonna take racism away. It's like that was an icon for people. People loved Aunt Jemima, and there was a history to her that was like full and rich, just like her pancakes.
Yeah, I think it's just all like. Overkill, and like, a lot of people say, this one slats me, bothers me a lot, especially never mind if you're not Italian. I hate when there's like the Italians that are like up to about age 25 that come down on Columbus. And yeah, guys, he was a slave owner, but everybody was back then. And when you say Columbus Day, there's three parts to that ingredients. The Italians asked, went forth and pushed Columbus because they're the proudest of him, basically saying, yeah, he discovered the country. But if you were to put in the largest lynching in American history, it's 11 or 13 Italians from about 150 years ago that did not get a trial. Yeah, I think it was down south somewhere where they just strung them up and hung them without a trial, and they were all found innocent. That's part two of why they asked for that day. And really part three, the same way we have a St. Patrick's Day, the hands of the Italians and the hands of the Irish built every building that you look around and see that's still standing these days. The country was built by Italian, by their hands, and Irish. And that's why we have those 2 days, folks. That's why there's not a German day and a Polish day. So when you're just saying Columbus Day has to go, you're kind of slapping on a whole proud heritage. And so, like, I get it. It's not good. And it's the same way when they say, well, Washington had slaves. Yeah, Washington also, which you guys don't pay attention to, is, I'm a history guy, he left all his money to his slaves saying he was sorry. And that money went to that generation of slaves for a long time. Like, you can't just say, one and done, we found something wrong with you. I just find that down.
Tearing statues down is not helpful. It's
if you kill history, you're going to repeat it anyway.
Right.
It just are.
I started thinking about people tearing statues down, and I started thinking about how I wondering if architects were still designing buildings with gargoyles on them, or if they were ripping down old gargoyles and they're like, take them down. Goliath, roofied me.
Look, for everybody that's running around now doing the woke crap, I guarantee if we could just single you out, we'll find a way to cancel you with it. With, like, all we have to do is talk to someone you went to school with, your family, or wherever you work. You'd go too.
And people who speak the loudest have the most to I've already watched it like 4 times already in the wrestling business. The social media, social justice warriors, those type of people, they've always been found as being somebody who's taking advantage of other people, and then they get exposed for it. So it's like, they're shouting from the rooftops, pay attention to this other person's misdeeds, pay attention to this other person's malfeasance.
Yeah.
Distract you from my misdeeds and malfeasance.
There's always an agenda, and you know, in the end, Republicans or Democrats are nothing more than strangers in suits making money while we fight. Guys, it's always been the formula. It's always been the freaking formula. So, like, I always tell people, try not to. I look at it this way too. Everybody changes. Like, if you're like 20 or like 25, you haven't lived long enough to experience this, but Corey has, I have, where you'll look at pictures of yourself from 8 to 10 years ago and be like, look what I'm wearing. Oh, God, no one should see this freaking picture. And then 10 years from after that, you're like, oh, God. So, like, I'm just basically telling you, everything you're saying now, everything you're dressing, and everything you believe in, some of that is going to stick with you because that's who you are. You're going to change. And everything you're doing now, you might be face-palming. I'm just telling you, it could be coming your way in time.
Right. When I look at some of the pants that I used to wear and the size of the pants that I used to wear and how baggy my pants used to be, oh, God. Like, I see old pictures and I'm like, oh, who told me that was okay? That looks like shit. I wish I had better friends.
Way more crotch room. I have all my baggy pants put away waiting for the resurgence.
waiting for the recycle.
Waiting for the resurgence.
The trend.
Yes. It'll come back around again. But yeah, look at your high school yearbook picture. Who's proud of that? Maybe some people look really good at it. Okay, good. But odds are you're probably like, gosh, darn it. Yeah, but that's part of being human.
I was a handsome kid in high school, but I mean, high school knew it, and I somehow was like, nobody likes me. But probably people liked me, and I just didn't give it a chance. I just was. Everyone wants an excuse to feel oppressed in some way. And that was, I'm a loner. I'm an outsider. Nobody likes me. It's like, yeah, that's because you're telling yourself that. Like, that's why nobody's around.
Well, so are you making effort to meet people, or are you just staying home and keeping yourself in a freaking phone? Because, you know, like, I didn't have that growing up. You know, I had to go out the door and get in the car and just drive and take chances, like where people might be or where something might be going on. And part of that battle was some of the most beautiful days of my life. And there was also days you drove around, nothing happened. You're like, this is a waste of time. And you're driving home mad. I mean, but at least I tried something.
Well, all through high school, I was training to be a wrestler. Like my wrestling school, I would get out of regular school and then like go home, do a couple things, pack up, and then go to the wrestling school. Like I did that from, I think I was in eighth grade when I started training for wrestling.
Wow, dude. Wow.
So, yeah, I
don't know if your body was developed for that enough.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I was uncoordinated and I had really poor eyesight. Like wow. I didn't get like contacts until 10th grade. So like the first couple years of training was terrible. I mean, I was bad. It was uncoordinated because my eyesight was terrible. I couldn't see to like where an audience would be to like sell to them.
Gotcha.
So it was a strange thing. I mean, I probably could now out of instinct if I didn't have my contacts in or something, but like I would still be squinting the whole time.
Yeah. Well, you're in eighth grade, man. You had plenty of time to develop.
It just felt like everything I've done was just part of what I had to do. It's not like I feel like sad about how it went, but at the same time, I think about it and I go like, if the me version of me now knew that version of me, I wouldn't be friends with me. Like,
oh gosh, yeah.
I was mean and I was annoying. I wouldn't be friends with me at all. Like I remember everything felt kinda I wasn't a bully, but when I would come at somebody, I felt like it was bully like stuff. So I definitely wouldn't have been my friend. And I think that's a level of self-awareness that I'm pretty proud of. And I don't know if a lot of people are that level to go like, oh, would I be my friend when I was younger? And then like, think about young people now who are trying to cancel people who are older, who have no idea what it's like to be somebody who you couldn't stand at one point.
Without a doubt. But that's also where I falls back on what I said about being a human and evolving, because I can tell you,
name is Joe, brother.
Yeah, but I you're right. But I could tell you there's a lot of things from my youth into my teens that have not changed at all. There was just like I a lot of principles where it's like, this is gonna guide you. I learned this at a young age and I'm going through. And then it's just like, but the way I behaved in my early 20s, 15% of that is around. Like I liked talking myself up to people where like now I'm like my head's down, like don't God, they're gonna see me, they're gonna wanna ask me about film. I just wanna go. Like I don't care what I guess at that time I wanted credibility. I wanted everyone to know everything I was doing. My head was gigantic. Now I'm more of like Prince or like take a look at it. If you like it, you like it. You don't. But I'm in Paisley Park all the time, pal. It doesn't matter like what you think, you know. So that's kind of how it is. But like also, as you get older too, you start looking at it by like, I hope people all do this by the time they hit 40. But if you didn't take care of it in advance, but if you are not financially where you want to be, you better get it now. Because you're not going to be working as hard or have the energy to in your 50s and 60s. I'm not saying like you're over the hill. I'm just saying that you have the energy now to produce more money, whatever, and focus more energy in that. And if you're not, because I was always one of them, like, I got time. And, you know, I've always brought up about like everything I've done in film. Yeah, I'm taking all these risks and stuff, but the dark military bills followed me for 4 years before I finally completed them. And like, that wasn't like $200 extra dollars a month. Like it was, it was like double mortgage payment, you know? So yeah, it was, like it was a lot to bring my art to life. And it was a risk of that I can never do again. But like I was saying, I just released Dark Military Rogue, which is, again, Dark Military Rogue's free on YouTube. You can put that in right now. It's like a middle.
I'll put a link to it in the description.
Cool. Thank you. But it's a middle short story that connects the first and the second film. You know, I haven't done the second film, but if everything goes right next year, I'll be doing that. But like, I can never take the risk that I did to make that first film. I can't.
You took a bath on it, huh? Financially took a bath on it? Or like,
yeah. Well, listen, here's the thing.
Like being like a promoter, like I've watched promoter friends of mine like take baths and fucking really lose their ass.
There was the thing with that.
Committing financially to something.
I could have gotten out of that a lot quicker. I definitely would have been hitting, eating it for a good year instead of four. The problem was, is all the money I was making on the merchandise, the streaming outlets and anything. I was like, got it. Not enough. Put it in advertising. So I was rolling the dice with the profits.
I was doubling down,
but I said, like, all these people gave me their time. Like, no, we could do more. I gotta believe. And like the end result of my film, I've got fans all over the country and all over the world. Is it where I want? Did that film get me exactly where I want to go? No, folks. But I'm way better with that film than I was before. And at least I know when I got that last payment out of the way, I'm like, wow, I could kind of get back to real life here, you know? So
the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step.
That's right, sir.
So you're heading in the direction of where you wanted to go. And I mean, that's all you can do. Like you can't sit around and expect somebody to strap a rocket to your back if you don't like clip the seatbelt and do it yourself.
I'll also add to what you just said, and like I hate that I've been doing this on a few other podcasts. I hate that I'm kind of doing it at the end because it's like it ends on a bad note, but
It doesn't have to be the end anyway. We don't have to close.
But it's just we're super deep and we're getting towards the hour mark. But I have to tell everybody, no matter what your trade is, you know, wrestling, film, music, don't be afraid to cut people, even if they're close to you. If you're trying to get to a certain level, and let me elaborate a little better on that because that sounds very terrible, but I think it was Randy Couture said, and Rich Franklin said, like, you're only as tough as who you train with. So if you're in a film or music and they only have ties to a certain point and you're the leader and you're trying, you need to be aligned with people where you're at the bottom of the barrel working your way up. You can't be the leader the entire time and expect you're doing the same thing over and over again. So it's kind of also like, I will say like a baseball or a football team where like, you're going to the playoffs and getting eliminated for like 7 straight years in the first round. This team needs to get blown up. This doesn't mean there's hate or in any way, shape, or form, but like, guys, we're not getting where we want. So like for me going forward, thanks for everybody, but like I have no problem with just like, oh, we're over here. And then when they find out and then they call like, oh, that's awesome. When did we start? Be like, all right, sit down, bud. Like, I did the work to go find this. I will love to maybe work with you if the project's right down the road. But, like, you're just not grandfathered in. That's the words I'm looking for. You're not grandfathered in because you helped at a certain point and stopped. Because there's so many people that they're very limited where they help. They're strong in one particular area. It's like someone who's really good at first base, but they strike out at the plate every time. And then you find you gotta make sure you get more hits to pick up for that. But like, yeah, but they're really good first baseman. Like, no, I need 9 players on the film that can do both, play the position and get hits. It's a little dark, but it's the freaking truth, folks. You know, go ahead.
Ask yourself what you bring to the table with anything that you do. Like, what value, if what value am I bringing to a project if the person can easily cut me? Like,
I'm so honest when someone asks me to be a part of their film and then I'm excited. I'm like, all right, I got a part of something. But like, I'm kind of like at the point, sometimes they say stuff. I'm like, why are you asking me? Like, any average Joe can go do what you just asked me. You can't do this part. So sometimes you're kind of like, I'll help. It depends on the time. Because if I can't, I'll be like, how about this? I'll make some phone calls for you and I'll link you and you guys can work this deal out that you're trying. Like I'll be the middle guy, put a thank you in the credits for me, but like you're making something way big out of this. It's like walking to the end of the block. You're making an event out of it. Like, dude, just go walk the end of the block. There they are.
What cracks me up was when people put up a post on Facebook or on Twitter and ask a question that they could have easily just Googled themselves.
Like, I say it all the time with what you and I are doing, because there's so many people that ask me, particularly for podcast info, and I'd be like, do you want to know how I got every answer? I asked YouTube the question. and then like 20 people will pop up and I'd be like, do this, do that. I'm like, okay, all right. You know, some I might not like, but and then keep going. But like that is my Google, is Google and YouTube is everything for any how to fix a refrigerator, replace a bulb in my car, like how to get anything. So a lot of film questions, especially editing, I ask YouTube. Mm-hmm. You know,
I gotta ask you this question. I ask you a few other quick things and I'll send you off into the sunset with a hot dog and a handshake and we'll rock and roll, start wrapping it up.
Wonderful.
So I know you've done tons of interviews. You like people come up to you, like you do conventions and stuff and people ask you lots of questions and you've been interviewed on magazines and podcasts and radio shows and stuff. What's one question that you've never been asked that you've wanted to be asked?
Man, that's a good one. You kind of got me a little, I don't have an immediate answer, but I also got those like, maybe it's because I don't open up so much about my personal life on a regular base, but I get a lot of the, I always wonder like, how do people don't ask me about like, how am I still standing as far as like with my work schedule in the daytime, the real world job. And then the second I get out of work, your phone is buried with text messages and call me now and emails. And then you go to film work, your real job, where you're getting like 10% of the money you just made in the daytime. and like, how do you still like, how do you balance that out? I just don't know. Like people just, I think people just see like the glory of the filmmaker, the glory of the podcast and don't realize how much time goes in. So I'm kind of waiting for someone to kind of bring that area up. It's even like what you're doing now, what I do. I always tell everybody, and it's the truth, it takes me 8 hours to do a podcast. Whether I interview someone for an hour, it takes me, this isn't my normal backdrop, but like it takes me about a half hour to set up. Then I do the interview for about an hour. Then it's usually a 4-hour edit. And in between making the thumbnails and all this and uploading, it's like 8 hours, guys. And then like, and then sometimes the guest doesn't share the freaking podcast. And you're just like, okay. But
I can relate to that. I just thought of this right now and feel free to use it if it applies. I'm thinking there's such thing as food porn, like Instagrams that are all like sharing dishes that you got served at a restaurant or whatever. But there's no such thing as like ingredients porn. Nobody's watching like what all the ingredients for that food are, like because like people want to see the product.
Yep.
People don't want to see all the stuff that went into it.
Yep.
So we need to make ingredients.
The biggest question, like you probably, this doesn't, I don't think it should be starting to you or the audience, but it's just like people come up and directly ask you like, put me in your movie. Like, just like the overall of like of the work of like, have you acted before? No, you haven't. Okay. Do you have any theater background? No, like this is the direct or I don't want to go long on this one at all, but like since I had some ties to helping Terrifier 2 come together, like people come up and like they're like, it's just been a lifelong dream to be in a horror movie that like matters and like, you know, I know you have ties, but could you please get me in Terrifier 3? And I'm like, I want to spit on them because it's like, yo, I was in that movie for like 2 seconds. So you think I'd want a bigger role and I helped it? I helped it like I helped the movie happen. What? Why am I helping your freaking dream? Like how dumb some people are with that. Like just thinking like you know, because it happened when I was in wrestling. Like, can I walk down the aisle with you? I want to be a bad guy. Yeah, I want to just yell at people and stuff. And like, no, okay, no, you just can't come into the locker room untrained and like not welcomed and all that. Like it, this, the oblivious of just hey. Can I have drives me insane. And 10 out of 10 times I sit there and I answer you nicely. And I still do it. I don't know why I do it, but I do.
People always say like, oh, how do I get into the wrestling business? And I'm like, find a school, like go get trained. And they're like, yeah, but I just met you. I know you. Like you give me the answers. You get me into the wrestling business. I'm like, that's not how this works.
Yeah,
I told this story before, but I was at the gym and the guy recognized me from the internet, came up and talked to me, and he's like, aren't you Corey Castle? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm trying to be a wrestler too. And then he was like wearing like a collar and elbow Al Snow shirt, and he was like, yeah, I'm trying to get my body right. And I said, okay, then what's your next steps? What's the goals there? And he's like, well, my next steps is I'm going to get my body right first, and then I'm going to go on and I'm going to like be in WrestleMania. I'm going to go to NXT. I'm going to go to WWE. I'll be headlining WrestleMania. I'm like, oh yeah. How old are you? 28. And I'm like, you know, I started doing this since I was 14. Uh-huh. And I didn't go to WrestleMania. I didn't go to WWE because I didn't want to.
Yeah.
Like you just think like it's that easy. Like you just want to, and then you do. That's you there's work involved. And
there is, I mean, I had wrestling guys come up to me and say they're getting ready to start training. And then they're like, I've already been calling Titan. I'm like, what do you mean you're calling them? Like you're just calling in? And they're like, yeah. Like I watched the show and say like, here's where I should fit. Like I'm telling the lady at the desk to punch me through the vents, but I can't get a hold of them. And I'm like, okay. Like,
yeah, okay. He's got people that work for him that filter people like you out.
Yeah, exactly. That's just, she's just there to kind of humor you. If it's if the phone call is even true. And it's usually, I'd say a lot to filmmakers. And this is why, you know, especially locally for a while, like, there were people definitely just didn't like my attitude and all that, but it wasn't what I was intentionally trying to make you mad. But these are the questions that were brought to me that helped me. But someone will be like, I'm making a movie. And I'll be like, who's your target audience? And they would freeze and not have an answer. I'd be like, well, everybody. I'm like, what kind of movie is it? It's a horror movie. Like, well, that's your target audience. How are you going to reach them now? And then they're like frozen. They're like, I'm going to put the trailer on YouTube. And I'm like, okay. And where's that going to be seen? Like, where's this going to get posted to that community? Like, do you even know? And then they're like, oh, like they get so upset. But it's like, I say that because I want to hear your plan. Mm-hmm. I always have a plan where I sit down with all my actors and explain, when we're done with this, here's the avenues I'm taking, so you're not freaking wasting your time, you know, between magazine ads and buying ads on freaking Facebook ads.
Paul Heyman locker room hype up speech.
Yeah, but I also try to get like, together, like this nucleus of these actors, I'd like to get on other podcasts so we can reach other audiences. Then we're going to go to Monster Mania and Chiller and this and that and get tables and hand out promotions. That way we're actually building an audience You know, because like I usually ask a lot of people that make a short film, they'll tell me like, "What's the plan?" Be like, "Get this to Netflix, and then I'll start directing Marvel movies." Be like, "Wow, you got the Willy Wonka ticket, do you?"
Like, from A to Z in 5 minutes.
Oh yeah, yeah, and they just know how to do it, and you can't tell them no, and then that person's never seen again 6 months later. You know, and looks like an ass. You know, but you have to be able to filter people out like that, and I usually, no matter what, when I meet somebody, I like to, if they're hyping themselves up, they just say they're new, I don't care. But if they hype themselves up and say they're attached to all these films, I need your name. I need to go to IMDb. I just want to see there, because I've had people do that, and I'm like, you're not even listed. Like you're not even. I've done it in front of them where I pull up, like your name doesn't come up, and like, oh, well, I'm uncredited here. You are uncredited. Go over there and try to scam them.
it is a level of like self-importance, like and unawareness that comes into people. Like I always
there. Yep, self-importance and unawareness. There are just people that are just unaware of like how they're speaking in public, like to somebody who's, you know, not just be me, but just anyone who's just been around and has some experience. Like you can't do that. Same thing with like anyone who's been a wrestler, you know, like for a period of years and is established. Like you just can't go up and just say, you know, you're gonna get out in 2 seconds.
Dude, you know, it's really funny. People, I think people try, because you know, I came up in CZW in the early 2000s when like early 2000s CZW was like it kind of stepped in the footprints that ECW had made. So yeah, it was like the big thing and everybody wanted to be there. That's where I got my start. But most people don't know that. Most people hear my name, they don't think of that. They don't ever think of I don't make that part of me, my name and going out there. It's not something I ever talk about or brag about in public, but somebody comes up to me and talking to me about how they were in CZW. They did tons of death matches back in like 2001, 2002. I'm like, sure, buddy.
Yeah.
I was there. I never saw you before. I never heard of your name. Or people try to tell other people to tell me, or like, oh, I know somebody who's in wrestling. They said they started in CZW. When? What's their name?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a timeline when I was there, and I don't know who their name. I don't know their name, and I don't recognize their pictures. I'm like, they're lying to you.
Yeah,
they're straight up lying to you.
It was like when I was doing that when ECW folded. I can't tell you, there was always someone in the locker room that worked for ECW and did what me and Garrett did, and they'd be like promoting. I'm like, who'd you report to? Dan, Lou, Jack, Victory, or Bubba? And be like, what? And they'd be like, well, I did promoting. Be like, you didn't do promoting because you'd be promoting with me. You and I would have been doing sucker work, driving to colleges and putting freaking flyers out. Like, don't tell me you're one of the main promoters when we were standing right here. And like, they just be like, it was only for a little while. Like, or something like, but you never know. And sometimes they would just say, like, they worked. I'd be like, good to meet you. Like, it's movable. Like I'm not here to argue with you, but
I was on set with SLG, and somebody came up and was talking to him about how they were trained at the power plant, WCW, and he's like, "Hold on, I can text somebody right now." And he was like, "Yeah, he never heard of you."
Yeah. Yeah. John's doing good with that sanctuary up there and all that. Good for him. But I do think you need to, like, the people don't know because they're trying to just get in their foot in the door and, you know, look good. But, like, you're going to get out of it, guys. Don't do that. In any industry, don't do that. Don't lie. Well,
I think you know, people lie on their resumes all the time. Resumes are full of lies. So people just want to do that out loud. And when you do that out loud enough, people are gonna get exposed. Yeah, people are not recognizing your name, who are actually there.
that was like me in 2010, you know, I guess first jumped into film. I went and I worked a full movie set and just said, I don't know nothing, nothing at all. Like, and there was a movie going on for 30 days. I'm like, I will volunteer my time. Just please be patient with me. And they literally walked me up like, this is Lauren. He's here to help you, gay for guy and all that. Be like, he knows nothing. Just, you know, and then, you know, there's a lot of downtime on film. So why I'm watching the confusion of what's happening with the light, like when there's a little bit of downtime, like, that's what the hell we just did. Like you know, why do you have an orange gel on there? What's that doing? Like, so, but you have to do that. That's just volunteer your time and be honest and earn it in anything.
So, one of the reasons when the beginning of me starting the podcast was, I tell the story every time, but when I first started doing the show, right around the time I first started, my mom had this CD made of like burnt CD of like voicemails. One was like from her best friend who had passed, and one was from her mom who had passed. And she said, it's like a cool little personal message to me. You know how like when somebody dies, you kind of forget what their voice sounds like. I remember hearing her say that and being like, I don't want that at all. I want the people who have any kind of special value in my life, people who have any meaning in my life, to have on the record conversations with me. And we'll kind of talk, because this stuff is kind of gonna outlive us, right? Yeah. So us having on the record conversations, I just want to tell you how grateful I am for your time and your effort. I see your hustle. I see your sincerity in wanting to improve things, and I'm excited to help you in any way that I can. I love being a resource for you. If you ever feel like there's anything, you know, going on that you need, you know, a second set of eyes on, or you know, you're going through something, you need some just judgment-free conversation, please don't ever hesitate to reach out to me. You have my phone number.
Thank you so much, Brian. Yes, it's good. You're always been a stand-up guy.
Thank you. So I twist that around now, and on this part, I open it up to you. You can ask me anything you want to ask me. You can say anything you want to say to me, just the next couple of minutes or however long you feel like it.
dude, you've always, like I said, you've always been a straight up guy, responsible and all that. So, you know, you and I are like we're goofy shits. That like, but like we bond, but we're not of each other's butts at the same time. Like there's mm-hmm. always definitely like big distance between us, like as far as communicating. But it was just kind of
we got irons in the fire. We got irons
in the fire. Yeah. But it's also that same thing. It was just like when you hit me up randomly last week, want to be on my podcast? Like one word, yes. It's like, yeah, all right. How about next Monday? Sure. Like it's like it's like that. But like it's cool. Like, you know, I know we're both smiling while we're doing it too, because we just both know how we are and all that. But I think it's good what you're doing here. You know, is this your 338th show? Is that what I think I saw?
318th.
Well, dude, that's hard to do. For a guy who just dropped the 75th show in 2 years, congratulations on that. Obviously, you wouldn't be doing it if you know you weren't enjoying it, and obviously. Also, people obviously are watching, so that's a good thing too.
Regardless if they're watching or not, because I think right now they're saying that there might be some solar storm that's going to take the internet out.
I've been hearing that.
I'm going to continue recording these even if that happens. Even if that happens, I'm going to continue recording. I mean, they might not be on the internet like this, but I'll still keep making them. And when the internet comes back, I'll put it back out.
Isn't that March when the world's going to the end or something with that stuff? Is that what I'm hearing?
I haven't heard the timeline. I haven't heard a predicted date. But
I think we could do. You know, I've always said if I could do the Thanos snap, I would take away everybody, the internet and everybody's cell phone, so they could know what it's like to be human again.
Yeah. The funny thing, I think I heard somebody say the fact that they called like TV and everything, they called it programming, and it was just programming us.
Yeah.
And then that continued to happen with every
it just built down into our phones and our screens. You know, it's just like, you know, it's never ending. If you could balance it all out, I think you keep your humanity. You know, your humanity. So
I don't want the internet to go away because I still want to keep doing the show.
So. Yeah. Well, you know.
We could stand some distance from our phones for sure.
Without a doubt, yes. Anyone who turns their phone off for like 48 hours, you should see what it does to your life. It just does. Like, if you could just willingly not be worried about what's happening, if you could turn it off, freaking a beautiful thing. But yeah, brother, thank you so much. And again, Dark Military Rogue, if you guys want to check that out right here on YouTube under Average Superstar TV. Along with another 500 freaking videos I got on there, because I'm always belting stuff out, I'll tell you that.
So. Dude, something is bound to go viral. You know what I mean? The more and more stuff you put up, the more and more chances you have of any of that stuff going viral. Like, you know, there's a zillion things that go on the YouTube every single day. Mm-hmm. So, like, you're in competition with all of those.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, I'm hoping
they can be persistent with.
I'm hoping it goes over well. If it doesn't go over well and it brings heat, well, then it brings heat. I'll be okay. But you just want to know.
There's been heat before. There will be heat again. It's never ending. It's going to keep on happening.
Some people are just built for it. Heel wrestlers.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I definitely believe in an afterlife.
No, that's not the question. I asked you if you believe in ghosts.
Well, that's ghosts after life, so yes.
Like, I mean, like hauntings, like you can see them and they'll like pop up in your
I truly room. Think if you're like really open to that, like and they feel you're vulnerable, that's where like the haunting comes in. I think if you're a strong personality, I kind of just think when that door's shut, like, what am I gonna do to him? It's a big jock walking around punching the walls. Like, I kind of think it's one of those things too. But I kind of think like you're obviously a big disadvantage when you're dead. But, you know, so I kind of believe when you say haunting, I believe in restless souls in the afterlife compared to like anyone who's having a good time, whatever definition that is, because you know, I believe in God and all that stuff, but like, I don't exactly go by the book. I do not mean slander God in any way. I just think things got lost in translation being rewritten. So many
people are people-y, man. They've heard what they've wanted to hear and then they translate it. It's been filtered through a bazillion times. It's a whisper down the lane with all that.
Take this out, put this in. This might sound a little better.
We were talking about earlier, just people cherry pick. Like, here's a part I like. Here's a part I don't really like. Get that out of here. Yeah. Here's a part that I do like.
You know, you go by the Old Testament, all that, God was pretty awful. And then they made him in the next one into a really nice guy. So I got to look at it as be your best self here. And, you know, the fact that we argue with each other, I don't think it's a one-way ticket to burning in hell. Like, I think, like, murder and, like, robbing the old people out of their money and, like, child molester. I'm talking about, like, that. They're the people that are going to have no shot in the next life. But I just think, like, I think we're kind of all, in a small way, all okay. So I'm just going to try to be my best self. I'd rather not argue with
people. Everybody for a point of reference. We need everybody to exist in this plane.
Yeah.
So that we understand what to not be or what to be countering that or whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's all here. I try to have the best experience I could in life. That's why I try to travel. I try to, you know, watch a lot of history when cancel culture comes in, like, I just get rid of it. Like, no, even the worst of the worst, you got to learn something from it. So, you know, someone could just say something about history. And if I don't know it, like, I freeze. I'm like, a documentary on this topic, because I want to learn all about it. But I'm kind of like information, but I try to keep my human factor going, even though I just earlier said, like, I'm trying to make up for a lot of money from the past. You're trying to find out equal balance of that, because you're really in misery if that's all you're doing is working, because that's not what we were really supposed to be here for, but you kind of need it for retirement. So, you know, be your best self.
Interesting idea to instead of like ripping down statues, to like then just like build onto those statues and make them into gargoyles and be like, oh, they're here to haunt, like to scare off evil spirits. Like the whole reason that they made gargoyles in the first place.
Maybe. But I if there was ever a statue made of something I really didn't like, I'd still walk past it. Like, I don't have to acknowledge it. Like, okay, that's there. That's like going to a concert and seeing one person you don't like and be like, I got to leave. Like, well, no, just you be intolerant for stuff, man. Just chill. Just freaking chill. So, but.
Is there any conspiracy theories that you fully believe in that maybe are not like super well known?
Oh gosh. Conspiracy theories on that. Man is just about money. And I think everything that goes on with political, I always wonder if like the other countries are feeding the pockets of the Dems and the Repubs to fit their narrative to rip the country down. That's all. I'm kind of one of those. Like, yeah, the other strategic. The biggest World War III to me is not guns. It's us just being what we've been, and it's just going to keep escalating. So we'll self terminate ourselves while they just sit home and laugh. But I guess that would be my conspiracy, if you want to say.
So in the same vein of talking about this outliving us and this being beyond, being beyond us existing on this plane, or who knows what's going to happen in 20 years. But I like to do a segment that I call audio time travel. So the people who love you the most, your family, your closest friends, anybody you might be your significant other, stumbles across this recording, but in 20 years from now. So in 2043, going into 2044.
Okay.
What's the next things you say? That's a message going directly to the people who care about you the most, 20 years into the future. This is audio time travel. What are you saying to them?
Well, number one, I still hope I'm here and that I'm healthy. I hope I got over the hump and actually had like a movie that's just known across the boards. And if there's some things that I said that's making you laugh, let's get a party going, like a roundtable party. We'll play the video and we can just point at me and laugh. That's what I got. Make it a roasting if something's that ridiculous.
Or roast of Warren Leprey. Yeah, I love it.
Yep.
Do you do any impressions at all?
Nah.
No.
I wasn't known for that. Like, I've had people say, like, when I do something once in a while, like, hey, you sound just like him. Like, I don't like, I try not to. You know, it's like kind of like the only time anyone would hear me do that is like when you're quoting a movie with someone like, oh, you kind of sound like that. I'd be like, I was just kind of going with the moment with recording. I don't think I'm a Matt, that's my department.
So the way we wrap up is normally I'll say, hypothetically, I've gifted you this show, and this is your first episode, the pilot episode of your new podcast, Evolving with Lord.
Okay.
In a very Jerry Springer's final thought type way, you're the most valuable takeaways in order to inspire somebody to be a better version of themselves. What would you say?
The biggest thing I would say with that is, you got to learn to be by yourself and not have any influence of any family member or friend. Like, that is where you find who you truly are. And the biggest suggestion I could say for this, and I'm sure everyone's drawn to what I'm about to say, but I've done it 6 or 7 times now. Get in your car, map out the country, and drive cross country and make stops at every place in every state that interests you. When you're driving by yourself like that for that long, number one, you're perception of what you think the country is of like when you say like the Midwest, I was like the average person, like, oh yeah, a bunch of, you know, farmers and, you know, Christian, all that stuff. And then like you go there and you're like, yeah, some of that's going on, but like everything's kind of modern in every state now and how foolish you look. And while you're doing that drive, because there's lots of downtime, it's just you and your mind, you start saying to yourself, who am I? Where am I going? Imagine if I didn't go back. Like, what would I miss? Okay, why do I need to go back? And I literally had like two or three thoughts of like, if you didn't go back, this is what's going to haunt you. So you need to go back and kind of take a shot at this, maybe make up with this person. But I just tell everybody, everyone should see the country and every state. Try. I know it's like, hey, maybe it's kind of hardest to drop everything and go. I didn't drop everything and go. I planned this accordingly, you know. But check out the whole country. It'll give you a different perspective. And one of the biggest things about, I came back also with that, was everything I heard out of my locals and what we think of what the other country, what people are around the other part of the country, we're 100% wrong. Just so you know. So that's how I'm trying to basically tell you, is divorce your family and friends for a while and go out and actually see the world. Cause I'm telling you, when you come back, you're not gonna be thinking the same. Or when they say something, you're gonna be like, I don't know, I was there. And you're coming up with an exception of people in an area and you've never been there. So take that also and think about that for a third world country in Europe and South America. Like, I look at, if I wasn't there, I don't know. Of course, I could watch some news clips and stuff like that. But, you know, the more I would start talking for people around the world, particularly who lived in Russia, like the way I thought of what Russia was, I was completely wrong, you know, or in Iraq or anywhere. So be your own person. Do your own investigation. Don't let your friends and family be the influence there. Get out there.
Takes more than one swing of the axe to take the tree down.
That's right.
Love it.
I hope that was one of the better answers for ending this show, but that's the truth.
I love it. Yeah, it's great. I normally would say, in your best whatever impression somebody would tell me, that say what the way we close out the show is, I have them say, be fun, have safe, keep evolving, in whatever their best impressions are. But you said you didn't have one.
Yeah.
So let me just pull out of my head. I'm going to say, as Heath Ledger's Joker, say, be fun, have safe, keep evolving.
All right. I never claimed to be smart. What are the words again?
Be fun, have safe.
Yeah.
Keep evolving.
And keep evolving. Yeah. I'll skip out on the Ledger thing. It's too easy to do. It's just like everyone. It's like trying to do Arnold or like Rodney Dangerfield. It's just kind of like everyone's kind of there. You know,
everyone's got a Heath Ledger Joker.
Yeah. Yeah. So, word up, dude. But thank you so much for letting me come on the show. And I hope your audience got something out of it.
Me too. I'm speaking right now to the audience. If this is your first time checking out the show, if this is your first time coming across Evolving with Corey Castle, make sure to prove to me you exist. Prove it. Leave a comment, like, subscribe, do one of those things. And I want to let you know how much I appreciate the currency of your time and your effort, because you have the ability, like, just like the airplane captain. I know you have a choice when it comes to airplane flights, and thanks for choosing us. You have the choice of any other YouTube video, any other podcast to listen to, any other content that you can consume. You could scroll right past it. If you've hung with us for almost an hour and a half now, I appreciate you. I love you. I hope you got value out of the currency that you've spent. I hope you've got your money's worth. When I say money, I don't mean actual money, because this is always going to be a free show. But I appreciate you guys. Thanks for hanging. And just like I said to Lauren about, if you ever feel like you don't have a friend and you're feeling lonely, don't ever hesitate to reach out to me. I'm a real dude. I'm going to respond to you. If you ever just need judgment-free conversation, please don't ever hesitate to reach out to me. Leave a comment in the episode. My DMs are wide open on social media. And, you know, stay kind. Stay kind out there. But, like, you know, stay strong. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. Be fun. Have safe. Keep evolving.
Wait. Shows up.